joining me for the latest installment of TV Madness with Makisha Madden-Toby. I'm your host. Our guest today is Noreen Hobson, a contributor and critic at Antenna Free TV. You've probably seen it. AntennaFree.tv. It's a great site. I'm one of the co-founders for it. So no personal interest would be at all. But no, Noreen is wonderful. She's a great writer, and she's joining us on the show today. And we'll be talking about fall TV, the Emmys, and more. Noreen, thanks for doing the show.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, yes. No, it's my pleasure. So what do you think of the fall TV landscape so far overall? Have you been watching some of the new shows? Or?
Yeah, I've been catching some of it and definitely hearing the buzz about things that I haven't seen yet. And it is kind of crazy that there isn't anything that anyone's, like, breakout excited about. Maybe Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right, I was going to say, with the exception of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which feels like Heroes a little bit, right?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. But it feels like, in fact, I was watching it with my husband, and the first thing he said is, oh, thank God this isn't on NBC, because they'd find a way to ruin it really fast. You know, because they find things like that that are interesting and buzzworthy and zeitgeisty, and then they find a way to make it somehow
horrible and weird. Yeah,
like 8 episodes in. But I feel like in the hands at ABC, where they've done great things with stuff I didn't think would work, like Once Upon a Time.
True, so true.
I think they're in good hands, and I think Clark Gregg is like.
I love him.
I love him, and he's so great in the show. Like, if you watch that first episode, which obviously a lot of people did, mm-hmm. I think people will go back, if nothing else, to watch him.
Yes, yes. And the cool thing was I covered Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And no, you know, because his character dies in the Avengers.
Right.
Sorry, spoiler
right.
alert, everybody, in case you haven't seen it.
Spoiler alert.
But, you know, when he came out, people were in, it was like he was a rock star. You know, you would have thought he was like Robert Downey Jr. or something. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And I love that for a guy who's been a character actor in the business for so long. And now to finally get this moment, his moment in the sun, is like one of the coolest things to see.
Right. And yeah. I met him at an event in the Broadway universe because his wife is Jennifer Grey.
So oh.
His father-in-law is Joel Grey. And my,
oh, wow.
My husband's in the Broadway universe as
right,
an actor.
Right.
And I met him, and he was so down to earth and so cool and so great. And I thought, there's a guy that if you're going to wish success for anyone, that's the guy. And then
nice.
He turns out something that's so interesting and fun as S.H.I.E.L.D. that you're hoping that really does keep its audience and
yeah.
retain some viewers.
I hope so, too. I think it will, though. I think you have.
I do, too.
The cool thing about that show that I liked a lot, Noreen, and I'm sure you probably feel a similar way, if not the same,
yeah.
is that it will appeal, and it does appeal, to a number of different types of viewers. You know
yeah.
what I mean? You have sort of the fanboys and fangirls,
yep.
of course, but it also
yep.
sort of has the drama elements. There's
yep.
pretty people on it. There's action on it.
Right. Well,
yeah.
and I laughed, too, because within, like, the first couple of commercial breaks, there was a commercial for a Little People's Toys. And I was like, okay, so they're not demographically just selling, like, fast
right.
sports cars to people. Like, there's something else here
right.
that they
families,
that they know they have a broad audience.
Exactly. Families, moms,
right.
everybody, dads,
yep.
grandpas. Everybody's going to be watching this.
And unfortunately, you know, I think that ABC has some good stuff that they're doing. I think the Goldbergs is interesting.
I thought it was funny. I laughed. Some people really hated it. There was someone I tweeted. Someone tweeted. I thought it was really funny. Was the 80s really this loud?
That's funny. Right. Right.
But
right.
I didn't mind the loudness. I didn't mind the loud clothes, the loud people. It just was funny to me. I just thought it was funny.
I think if you're trying to create a sense of a moment, they didn't go as over the top as they could have.
True.
And I think that they really did. I mean, it sort of did evoke. Maybe the 80s was kind of louder. I mean, you think about the reaction to the 80s was the 90s. And being a Seattleite, like, could it have been grayer or darker?
True.
You know,
right.
about 92,
That's
93.
True.
That's the response to it. So maybe there is something about needing it to be loud to feel like it was of a different time.
That's so true. That's a really good point. Have you seen Blacklist? What did you think of that? Because that was one of the other shows. Theo's giving me a thumbs up. I love you, Theo. That was one of the other shows that I liked. I've only had probably maybe like 5. I could count on one hand. Five fingers, of course. Shows that I actually liked this season.
Yeah, well,
and
you know,
Blacklist was one of them, too.
I made the mistake of choosing Hostages over that.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
What did you think of Hostages? I mean, you did see that, so.
Well, I think that there could be something great in it, and I think that that's why they got such good actors to sign on, and I think that that's the thing about so many of the shows this season is there's so many great actors, like really
right,
fantastic
Right, the
show's
not so much, but the actors are fantastic.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like I want to see what Toni Collette's going to do. Like, she's great.
I love her. I mean, as an actress, she's kind of rude in real life.
Yeah.
But as an actress, I think she's great.
As an actress, she creates so much variation.
She has a great
face. Her characters are interesting,
yeah.
and she's very compelling. And I think, well, I want to see what becomes of her on Hostages. But I found myself sort of drifting away from it, finding other things to do while it was on.
Oh, that's never a good sign. If you start filing taxes and calling people back and emailing people.
Right, like, you can't hold my attention between now and the next commercial break to make this, and it's supposed to be so highly suspenseful. And I thought, I actually was genuinely disappointed when it ended, and I thought, I didn't watch Blacklist.
Like, oh, I know. Wait, I think they're going to re-air it if it's any consolation.
I'm sure it's on demand somewhere that
I really liked Blacklist. And it's funny you said that because it's sort of like they're connected in that regard. It's like Blacklist was not a great show, but James Spader's so good at being so creepy and so, like, you just want to know more that you just ignore all of the stupid stuff. And there's tons of stupid stuff in the show.
Sure.
You're just like... Like, no amount of suspended disbelief could, like, capture all of that silly stuff that they have in there. But even that doesn't matter because he's that good. And that how often can we say that about any show where the show, you know the show's not great, but the person in it, the star, who is for, like, the vehicle, is so good that, like, he's just that guy. He is that guy. There's so few actors who can do that.
Yes. Absolutely. And, like, I wasn't a huge Boston Legal fan in the beginning, but then I somehow crossed a threshold where I got really excited about seeing that William Shatner, James Spader combo.
Everybody did. That was the only reason people were watching.
That it's like, I'm going to watch that show because I got to see those guys are going to do together.
What are they going to do next? Yeah, what are they going to do next?
It was, and those last, you know, they just started dedicating the last 10 minutes of the show of their banter on the balcony. Because it's like, we know that this is why you watch, so here's your reward.
You put up with the other silly cases that we had, the cross-dressing and the randoms, pop culture references, but here's your payoff. Yeah, he's the payoff, like, it's 45 minutes of payoff of James Spader, and the rest is just like, what?
Well,
is somebody else on the show?
I like her. He was like, you know, he played the creepy, weird guy with the...
Sort of Silence of the Lambs, right? It kind of veered into that.
But you're like, that guy's a great actor.
Like, you're like, who cares?
Who cares? I want to see somebody who's doing something great. And I think I think TV has switched so much to, it's hard to be the front of a show without being somebody.
You have to.
You can't pitch a show now that isn't like, hey, here's this famous person doing this thing that's either unexpected or exactly, like, you know, like with James Spader, exactly in his wheelhouse. Watch James Spader be James Spader.
Right, exactly. And then we go back to the hostages. It's to say, you know, like, they have these big names. You have Toni Collette.
Yeah.
But she doesn't have that star power.
Right.
And even if she did, that show has such, like, I was sitting there watching it, and basically I was thinking, this doesn't have any shelf life. There's nothing beyond this first episode that people are going to really come back for. And you could be a huge Toni Collette fan. That would probably, like, that would be necessary, I think, to some extent for some people to come back. But I think it's not even about that. It's just like, she's great, and that's fine. And she's great in that role, and that's fine. But the show is just so one note. It just feels like, okay, they're hostages, and she's the doctor for the president. Like, it's just like, you're just like, and... I mean, we've seen this before. It's just not.
And they're trying to pretend like this show has more than six episodes in it, right? Like, they're at max the miniseries.
Right.
I think that this is...
And it feels like it, though, because you have that sense of finality, like, you're like, oh, well, this is going to end. Like, you're just, I mean, to some extent, it's almost like, you know what I mean? It's like, no one savors a fast food meal.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Oh, this paragon is crazy.
So oh my God.
Right. No one says that. So it's like that. It's a fast food show, and they're trying, like you said, they're trying to pan it off as like a steak show. So, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Is everything okay?
Everything's fine. I'm just a mom who watches a lot of TV, so sometimes you hear babies in the background.
I love it. You're keeping it real. I love it, Noreen. We have that in common. I don't have any kids in the studio, though, so I don't have the authentic feel that you do. But I love you for it. Did you see anything on so far fall-wise that you hate?
I really didn't like We Are Men.
Oh, God.
Watching the pilot for that, I was like, I don't even know how you save this show.
They can't. And you know what? It was like, didn't TBS have a show like that?
They did, and it was better.
Right, and it wasn't even good.
And it still didn't last. Like, it wasn't good enough, and it was better than this. I thought, I don't know how you save these guys. And they're not bad actors. It's just,
no, it's not the acting. It's the show.
The show is so...
I don't buy them as friends.
Nope.
I mean, it's sort of silly, and it's sort of like not even in a, and not silly in a good sense. Like some shows, you're like, oh, okay, well, I'll play along. You're like, right. With this, you're like, I don't want to play along. And these people are stupid. Like this is stupid. Oh. They're not even trying.
I couldn't get like I was a couple minutes into it, and I was like, okay, so something has to happen here that this something changes because they couldn't have made this pilot, and it's all going to feel like this. And then there,
what
was,
a waste of Tony Shalhoub, right? What a waste of Tony Shalhoub.
And I watched a couple of minutes of the baseball show that came on after the middle. That was still in the game or whatever.
James Caan. Oh God,
and
James Caan.
It was so awful.
I feel so bad for him. I'm like, does he owe someone money? Why is he doing this?
Why? Why is this the thing that you're like, I'm going to do TV. I'm James Caan. I'm going to commit to a TV series.
He's not having the best. Ever since that show Vegas ended, he's having a rough go.
Right.
His face looks weird. He was in Magic City. That plopped.
Yep.
And now he's doing this show. It's like basically they could change the title to old man, young daughter, woman.
Yeah.
And it'll be the same sad.
Right. And, you know, it's sad sack kids baseball. And it's like, okay, if I wanted to watch that, there is Bad News Bears. There's, you know. Like,
right. Better stuff.
In the movie Hot American Summer, they do a reference, like a callback to Bad News Bears that the camp's really awful baseball team, like, just calls it with the other team. And it's like, that's what this show kind of feels like. It's like.
Oh, somebody has to call it.
Yeah, somebody should call it because clearly the team's no good. Like, this is, it's not good. It's not good. So hopefully, mercifully, that will end and something better can go in that Wednesday night lineup for ABC because The Middle is awesome. Yeah. Modern Family is awesome. Why would you put such, like, a loadedly bad show in between them?
Well, you wonder, like, and, you know, and that was the thing. It's so funny. It makes me think of last year with The Neighbors, which was actually this really cool show, right? People were like, oh, it's too familiar. It feels like something from the 80s, which is what I liked about it.
Yeah.
And it fit within that family package. So what I'm guessing is going to happen because they have The Neighbors on Fridays, which is sort of like where shows go to die.
Yeah, totally.
When this in the game, whatever this mess is with James Caan dies, they'll yank it and they'll just put The Neighbors back in there.
I think that they will. That or I think The Goldbergs because it sort of has that
same
sweet family vibe.
And ABC's good at that. Yeah, they're good at those kinds of shows. So.
And they've been good at it for a long time. Yeah. Like, you know, you watch ABC Family and you see reruns of something like Full House, which I have nieces and nephews who that was like it was long past their time and it was on ABC Family and those kids fell for it. Like,
yeah, like just like we did.
Right, exactly.
Just like
so
we
it
did.
Because
Uncle Jesse
thing.
Was awesome.
What?
And Uncle Jesse was awesome. I mean, who didn't want Uncle Jesse either as a boyfriend, as uncle, like something. Like, he just was like the coolest guy on TV when we were kids. So.
Right. He was super cool. And the show was just enough funny. And there were kids that were your age.
Exactly.
It's so hard to recreate that.
Yeah.
But you can see how a show like Modern Family figured out.
Yeah.
That the parents do something for parents, but you could also have your kids, like your tweens and teens, watch the show and there's something in it for them.
So true. So true. So,
yeah, and I don't think anyone's going to find that with In the Game or whatever that is.
No, they're not. I don't know, honestly, Noreen, I don't know who that show is for.
I have no idea.
And I don't think they do either, and I think it's going to die.
I think very quick death. Bye-bye.
So people should make sure you check out antennafree.tv for Noreen's upcoming Saturday Night Live tribute story on Lorne Michaels and his sort of ability to find the right talent and keep the show hot. It's in its 39th season. Of course, 5 of those 39 seasons, he was not a part of it, and those were the seasons that people would like to forget as quickly as possible.
Yes.
But, Noreen, can you talk about the story sort of and Lorne Michaels and you know, what made you want to write it, and are you excited about season 39? And I read your story, so I already know the answer to that. But just...
I think that I was, like, so surprised when people were freaking out that, like, 4 cast members were leaving this year and that they were going to have to replace all these people, and I thought, this is not... I mean, it's a big exodus, but it's not the biggest exodus that Saturday Night Live's ever been through.
Right.
At all. And, you know, it's not like there aren't other talented people still left.
Right.
It's not like all the great people left and now what are they going to do? So I thought it was so funny that there kept being these stories that were everybody up in arms about, is this the end for SNL? How can they, you know, is the magic going to be gone? And I thought, this is the show's 39th season. And although, you know, rumors of it getting canceled come
it
up now and then. What's NBC going to replace it with?
Right.
It's as long as it's doing well, which it really does bring in a pretty hefty audience for late night programming.
Right, on a Saturday.
Yeah, on a Saturday. And Lorne Michaels in an interview said something about how he makes the show basically for high schoolers and college students, mm-hmm. people who don't have the money really to go out on a Saturday night.
And it still works. And parents.
It still works.
And parents of young children who don't know where to go.
Right, exactly. So it's the kind of thing that your favorite cast is going to be the cast from when you didn't have any other choice kind of on a Saturday night.
That's true.
But to watch it. So everybody has a favorite cast, but he always finds people to make your new favorite. There's never going to be a season
right.
where it's like, oh, yeah, no one's good.
But I mean, to that point, you know, like you said, all these stories came out about people, with people sort of panicking, you know, these panicky tone
yeah.
stories about what's
yeah.
going to happen in the show. It's like, okay, did you watch last year? Because it was almost as if, not almost as if, obviously, Lauren knew Bill Hader was going to leave.
Right.
You know, obviously,
yeah.
you know what I mean? He knew some of these,
right.
he knew Jason Sudeikis was, you know, one foot
yeah.
out the door.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was a surprise to anyone.
No.
So I think the cool thing was a lot of the new people sort of emerged and had these really great sketches that
yeah.
did, had a lot of internet life and
totally.
Did wonderfully virally. You know what I
yeah.
mean? Like the what was it? The Mokiki sketch?
Oh.
That
yeah,
was
I mean,
hilariously weird and perfect.
Right,
and
it's the kind of stuff that you can't help but talk about. And why
yeah.
it being live works so well is that it's you. If you miss it live, then you missed it. You can catch it. People can share the video,
mm-hmm.
and it can be all over the place.
Right,
virally.
And that was the fun of it. That
but
was the fun.
That's why it's exciting. Is it's so, you know, part of the secret is finding those people who are great live,
mm-hmm.
who do something like, you know, for as much as Jimmy Fallon jokes that he ruined so many sketches, which he really and probably his castmates would say Jimmy Fallon ruined a ton of sketches because he laughed.
Well, so did Bill Hader, but that was always the fun of it to me.
Right.
What a great character.
Isn't it fun to see that moment that will never happen again?
Yeah.
It didn't get canned. It didn't get processed. It is, that's the moment.
Yeah.
And that's why it's fun to watch, is you might catch that moment. And, you know, with Bill Hader, the news is the last thing that they write, that they put together, really, during the broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always thought that with Stefan.
Oh, my God.
I think that they
Stefan.
Were putting stuff on the cards that he had never seen before. I swear, because it's the last thing that they're writing.
It was
hardly
so
rehearsed.
Funny.
There has to be stuff that he's seeing for the first time.
Right.
Or saying for the first time, because he couldn't keep it together. And you watch that happen during the news, during those bits all the time, is that they really, it isn't as well practiced as the rest of the shtick for the show.
Right.
And so you see these people just coming undone. And then you know it's funny, because if they think it's funny,
yeah.
they see all the funny stuff.
Yeah.
It's got to be great.
I mean, granted, I'm going to miss Fred Armisen, who also
oh.
left, and
yeah.
Bill Hader in The Californians, which was hands
oh.
down one of my favorite bits that came out the last couple seasons. But, I mean, you know what? They could always come back and do a guest Californians, and I have a strong feeling that they will. I mean, you know,
yeah.
sort of it happened with Kristen Wiig. She came
totally.
Back again, and it was brilliant. So, you know,
yeah.
it's, people should calm down. Calm
yeah.
down, people. Season
and
39,
Lauren
it's going to be okay.
Has always found good people, so maybe let's give these new people a tryout and
right?
see if they turn out to be pretty great, which, you know, there's six new people. Will six people be the amazing breakout.
Right. Kristen Wiig was new once. Bill Hader was new once.
Yep.
It worked out. Just,
absolutely.
Just give it a
so
chance.
Let's give these folks a chance. In my in the article, I talk about Beck Bennett, who's the guy that everybody
right.
knows from those AT&T
commercials. Guy. Yeah, yeah.
But he actually created that commercial.
That's oh, wow. I didn't know that.
He and his cohorts at Good Neighbor, which is like their web series,
oh.
actually did a thing where they interviewed kids about current events.
Yes, so, I think I have seen those, actually. Yes, yes,
and so
yes.
he talks about, like, it's called Fresh Perspectives. He talks to kids, and I think that they say that was the inspiration. They picked
oh,
them
up. Oh,
that
makes complete sense. Yes,
to do that
I see that.
For
I
those AT&T
that.
Spots, in that first round of AT&T spots, where clearly no, those kids were not overly coached. They did not know what the end product was going to be like.
Yeah.
They were, those are great commercials.
Yeah.
So he knows how to do things that are magically funny, that are people, other people aren't doing it. So I think he has a shot to really bring some things, bring characters to the table that will be funny and interesting.
Yeah, that's going to be fun to see. And the first episode, of season 39 kicks off this Saturday,
yes.
September 28th at 11:35. So make sure you guys tune in and
with Tina Fey.
With Tina Fey hosting. So how can you go wrong?
No, you cannot go wrong. I would watch her sit on a stage and, you know, call out letters of the dictionary to her. Like, I mean, she's great and she makes everything funny. So
I love her.
And she'll teach the new kids what to do. They'll be fine.
When she, and now we're going to segue that to the Emmys, and she won another one, of course,
yeah.
for episode of 30 Rock, so congrats to her. But she was fantastic backstage because she was so funny with the woman who wrote the episode with her, who's, I think, not even 30 yet, or maybe she's 30.
Yeah.
And she was just talking about sort of how she worries about this woman because she didn't, like Tina Fey was saying, she didn't become famous until she was 30. And it was just this great moment of everybody over 30 going, oh, cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Like she just, everybody loves her. Every time she comes backstage, every time she's at anything backstage at any award show, and she always inevitably, thankfully, wins something.
Right.
And she comes backstage, it's always a blast because she's so off the cuff funny. Like it's just like, that's just her being her.
Right.
But yeah, she's just that person. So you're right. It's going to be great. But what did you think of the Emmys overall?
I thought they were good. A lot of people were giving the Emmys a hard time for not being fun enough or interesting enough. And I thought that's kind of not their job. Their job is to give awards. And I think Neil Patrick Harris is a killer host. I mean, even when he is not at his zenith.
I was trying to figure out what people wanted from him specifically.
Right.
I mean, I was trying to, it was like, I'm there working, so I kind of was like, it was in my sort of peripheral, but it was sort of like, when I went back and looked at some of the tweets, or I was kind of like glancing at tweets, people were like, what's happening? And this is boring. And where's the song and dance number? And he did one. And they were like, that's it. Like, there was nothing. It seemed like on some of the people's responses and comments on Twitter is that he couldn't do anything right. And then other people were like, they loved him. So I was curious what you thought of, like, what did you think of people's, I guess, what did you think of him? And then what do you think of people's reaction of him, sort of the negative reaction?
I loved him. I thought he was great. I think he does such a great job of, he's a classic host. And it can't be all showstopper moments.
Right, right.
And there were showstopper moments and acceptance speeches. Like, you can't beat Merritt Weaver's acceptance
speech. That was hilarious.
Because no one went into the night and thought to themselves, oh, I look forward to seeing Merritt Weaver win for Best Supporting Actress. No one thought that.
She didn't either, clearly.
Clearly. Clearly. Merritt Weaver could not have had it in her head, oh, I got to find a place on my shelf for this Emmy because I'm so going to win it. Because no one thought that.
No.
So those moments are the moments that then, and then it's about the people getting the awards. So I think Neil Patrick Harris did a great job of keeping it moving, having a good time.
Yeah.
I thought the musical numbers were great. I thought that his middle of the show, unexpected. Everybody expects it at the top or at the end of the show. He totally threw it in the middle. I thought it was fun. Nate Fillion and Sarah Silverman coming out to do a musical number, perfect. I thought it was great.
I love them.
And I liked the choreographer's number, too. I thought that was fun.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You can't please everybody.
No.
I was disappointed that Kerry Washington didn't win and sort of break the color barrier and make history, but that has nothing to do with the show.
Right.
It has to do with the Television Academy and the voters not necessarily seeing what people might see with
and
her.
And I think that sometimes she's doing on Scandal something that people that they don't necessarily get the Academy. There is something. It is soapy. It's not.
It is. I'm the first to admit that. And I did not initially like the show even because it was so soapy and because it was so overwrought and overdone.
Yeah.
But I have to give it to Kerry Washington. For me to see her on that show and I feel like she's the show.
Yes. Totally.
That, to me, I think warrants an award. I understand her not necessarily winning when you compare her to something like Claire Danes, depending on what kind of performance you're expecting.
Right, but even Claire Danes, and I don't watch Homeland regularly,
mm-hmm.
which I actually saw a preview today for the next season. I was like, I really should get more into Homeland. But there is something so
season
about
two was
too.
Patchy, so maybe like sort of brace yourself.
And maybe they just went between the two choices because I bet it came down.
Oh, sure, I'm sure.
I'm pretty certain that it came down between those two.
I agree.
And I think that they just get Claire Danes' brand of
ugly crying better.
Ugly cry. That more
because Kerry
Washington
doesn't do ugly
even
crying.
I think that Kerry Washington really on that show is she is the show.
She
You're
is
right.
the show.
You tune in to see what's going to happen to Olivia.
Yeah.
And that's less so true on Homeland because there's enough of a varied cast that you care about those other characters in a different way.
True. And how they're going to react to Carrie. And Carrie's a part of it, not the show. She's
right.
a big part of the show.
Yep.
It was funny. My husband and I were talking about it. And he goes, What about episode two? I think it was two or three, and I don't want to ruin anything for you because you haven't seen season two of Homeland yet. But
yeah,
there's an episode where she is amazing, and I gave him that. It's just, and nothing else. The physicality of the episode, considering that she was pregnant during it, is even doubly impressive. But I mean, I don't know. Is that what it comes down to when it comes to winners with Emmys? Like, it comes down to specific episodes, or
I think so, because
overall performances for the season? Because arguably,
they submit, the network or the show submits their, and so they just found maybe a better moment to pitch for Homeland for her than they found for Scandal.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, that's true.
They might, you know, there's always, you know, those moments, the Oscar moment, Emmy moment, that you're like, oh, I see it. You're clearly submitting this episode. This is your episode. Yeah. Go for it.
Well, there were an award show for podcast, submissions, I would nominate you as one of the best guests ever to appear on TV Madness with Makisha Madden-Toby. And I am so, so grateful. I can't wait to have you on the show again, Noreen. You are a rock star.
You
among
got it.
Rock stars. You are awesome. Thank you so much for doing the show. So we have to thank our guests. This is the end of the show, everybody. I know you guys didn't want us to stop because we were having so much fun. You probably were having, I hope, as much fun as we were having. So I have to thank Noreen again for doing the show. She is a contributor and critic at AntennaFree.tv. Check her out, please. She is brilliant. We also have to thank our sponsor, Record Surplus in Santa Monica, the last record store. Visit RecordSurplusLA.com. NPR West, the amazing Theo Mondale. He is the engineer, sound engineer. He is amazing, and I love him. He's awesome. We also have to thank production assistant and graphic artist Adam Janice. And you, thanks for listening. Freedom, pulling it off the